November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m., the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will be holding its 30th Annual Business Expo and Food Showcase, presented by PNC Bank. It will be held at Next Level Arena in Flemington, featuring over 100 exhibitors, demos, a chance to enter the cash machine, door prizes, and food tastings from local restaurants. From 4 till 6, meet Bill Spadia from New Jersey 101.5. Admission is free. For details, call the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit hunterdonchamber.org.
Okay, welcome back to Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. I hope you're having a great day. I can't believe it's already like the 10th year, just close enough, on Talented People Radio. We appreciate you listening in. A couple years back, we had our guest today, Doug Snelson, on because he's a Santa Choice Award-winning author in addition to several other massive and very accomplished accolades. One of the books that we have here that his daughter, Renee Snelson, illustrated, who's written by Doug Snelson, is Who's Got the Face? And then The Fable of the Snake Named Slim, also illustrated by his daughter. We're going to talk today about how you've been moving in from children's books into this is something that you've always had a passion for, which is poetry. And the book that we're going to be talking about is Laughter. Is
Laughter includes,
includes the word. Yes, which, I'm sorry about that. All right.
That's right, because you were looking at the script written instead of the...
No, yes. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, well, good afternoon, Jeannie, and
hi.
Thanks for having me today. Very excited to be here. Laughter includes the word is a reflection of, and dare I say the number, of 50 years of poems that I have written, which have never been published. And my belief is that there are probably dozens, hundreds, thousands of your listeners and more who have things that they have written that they believe could or should or would want to have published. I always thought as a child, and when I say child, I'm talking about high school, I would have an experience, and that experience then would turn into, I'd get a pen and a piece of paper, sometimes a scrap of a paper, an envelope, a napkin, and I would just write down what I was feeling at the time. This started in high school, and I kept on doing it. I thought, well, let's see, in my later teens, I thought, well, I'm going through a phase here, but I still wanted to express myself. Then I went to college. I went into the military. I was an officer in the Marine Corps. I wrote a couple poems about being in the Marine Corps. Then got married, kids, wrote about my wife, my kids, my job, and I continue to do so. So all those poems I put into a little black gym bag, and I would pick them out every once in a while. And then in the 80s, when you had laptop computers came along, I started to put them in some kind of order. Anyway, so that's today. I have 63 poems in this book. Mm-hmm. I've taken the original drafts of 48 of the 63, mm-hmm. and on a spread, I put my notes and the my original ideas on what the poem would be, and then on the that's on the left hand side of the spread, and then on the right hand side is the actual edited poem, the final poem, and then at the bottom of each poem I put a comment about where I was, what I was thinking, what the poem meant to me, just a very brief blurb. So there you go.
So. I love it, and I love the way that you do. You, in the book, you show your like notes, your handwritten notes of how you were doing this back over, like you said, up to 50 years ago.
Yes.
And it's funny because you can see, because I am a writer, as you know, and also yes. I try to be a poet, nothing like yours. But I'm interested in talking to you about the wording and how it was. Is it like a epiphany one day and then a writer's block or some? What gets you to just get up, go back, write about, like you said, something going on, put it all together in your black bag, and then put it all together later and say, I remember exactly how I feel that day, which is where you put the comments on the back.
Yes, yes. Well, everything that I wrote had meaning to me, and the one that you're familiar with, mm-hmm. I Again Defriend, mm-hmm. was about my best friend, Mark. It was in between college. We came to visit each other. He was out on a football scholarship. I was back here. I went to Syracuse University. We hung out. We talked till about 1 o'clock in the morning, just a good buddy. And I went home and I wrote I Again to Friend. Mm-hmm. And may I share that
I
with you?
I want you to, absolutely. We can't wait.
We'll do a few of these anyway.
Perfect.
So this one goes like this.
What page?
And that would be page 11 for you.
Okay.
So you'll see on the left-hand side where they're little, in this particular case, a little bit of rhyming, but a little repetition. It's called I Again to Friend, which is simply my poetic license on the word again. Mm-hmm. And it goes like this, very simple. I Again to Friend, which is nice. We talked until 2, and each one of us knew a friend is only once, never twice. I Again to Friend, which is rare. We rehash those old times of some wild oats crimes and how easy it is not to care. I Again to Friend, which is bad. We both spoke of our hell, and to him I could tell the heaven of life can be sad. I Again to Friend, which is grand. We thank friend in the sky, we're friends till we die, and we thanked one sweet word, understand. I Again to Friend, which is nice. We talked until 2, and each one of us knew a friend's only once, never twice. Now, I wrote that in the summer of 1969, and I have to say, Jeannie, that is that one poem I have recited more to more people as, and then in groups of people.
Oh, sure.
And people have requested that poem. I sent that to Mark on his 50th birthday years ago, and he was surprised that I had, and I thought, oh, yeah, I wrote this about you. And then I just had my class reunion. And a couple, he came with his wife Carol and joined my wife and Diane and me, and a couple other buddies and their wives. And I recited that poem to my friends, and then I recited that poem to my friends at Syracuse
because it's like a universal poem.
And many of them are that way. There's a universal,
and that you know that leads to where you could actually have these like in a Hallmark card. Like you could have a lot of these poems in cards. You know,
I you have so many good ideas.
Yeah. All right, out there, everybody knows this. I'm always thinking, right? And I know you're thinking too. But hello, when you have a poem and it's a universal poem. That's what a card is. So you've got a whole book here packed with 50 years of your life experiences, and you're going to read more to us. But I'm just going to tell you, keep in mind, and everybody out there, wouldn't you love to buy a card if you couldn't buy the book, which we love, and you can get in touch with Doug, and he can actually make this for you. And you've got the book available, and you can get in touch with Doug Snelson. Again, it's my guest on Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Let's hear more.
Okay, well, you know, and then there were other things that happened that were just unique and different to me. So, example, when I was 17, 18 years old, I was working at a golf course, and I was a caddy. And sometimes the golfers asked the caddies or the starter to get a caddy to send help their wife on an errand. Mm-hmm. And on this particular day, I was at a golf course in New Jersey. I was asked to drive a lady into New York City.
Oh, boy.
For a dental appointment. Mm-hmm. She asked me to we went to Fifth Avenue. We had to find a parking garage. Of course, she paid for it because
you're the caddy, but you're like a loyal caddy because you're driving her into the city.
Well, you know, they would tip you.
Yeah,
they would tip you.
No, it's good
but,
job.
So I'm sitting on a fire hydrant. She said, just wait here. So I said, okay, I'm going to wait here. So I sat on a fire hydrant, and all of a sudden, this taxi comes up, and a gentleman walks out, opens the door and walks out of the taxi. And it was Edward G. Robinson, you know, the Ten Commandments and old black and white movies, old gangster movies. And I walked up to him and I said, gee, Mr. Robinson, I really admire your work. Now, here I am, you know, 18, let's see, what year was that? That was 19, All right, 1973 was when I actually wrote the poem, but I met him, I want to say, 1971, because I wrote the poem when he passed. And I shook his hand. I remember his hand being very soft. I remember a very sweet smile. And then when I heard that he had passed, I guess it was within a year or two, that's when I wrote this poem.
Okay, what page?
So this is on page 55.
Okay. All right, this is going to be good. Let's see.
Okay, so there was, and I'm going to help some of the younger listeners here. There, in his gangster, what I called his gangster roles, he was always known as having a cigar, you know, and he goes, look at now, now I'll tell you what we're going to do, see, and we're going to do this, see. And then, of course, he had the many, many roles. But so this one goes like this. On the passing of Edward G. Robinson, Edward G. played A to Z, see? He never was held up in his life from those 30s to 60s or his wife. See? That artist of art ran more through his heart, through the film. I met him one noon. His hand was dark and soft. A Renaissance man, simply black and white, more so truth in night. He died, and we lose him. No, you dummy, the trees have lost you. See? Now, that last quote is from his, from a movie where he's one of the movies that he played in, and it was kind of a love story, and that was the last phrase. No, you dummy, the trees have lost you. Now, the comment I wrote here, written the day of his passing, I had met Edward G. Robinson on Park Avenue in New York City in the summer of 1969. When he came out of a cab and walked in my direction, I extended my hand and told him I admired his movie work. He engaged my hand, thanked me, smiled, and kept walking down the street. The quotes are from two of his movies, 1973. So that, for some reason, made this big impression on me, and I thought that was so cool.
It is cool, and I you should actually have this and post it on Facebook and tag the family so that they can see that you even wrote this. I would actually go to the website and upload it to their comments, too.
Oh, I'm so glad I came today.
And, you know, it's like, this is stuff the family will want to know about. They'll love it.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
Much.
Yeah, no, I could just picture it. It's very, very visual.
Well, there are, you know, over the years, I had written a bunch of all kinds of things, but one poem that struck me that I really liked, which is completely different than the ones that we were just listening to, is called Lotsam Flotsam.
What page?
And I'm trying to find it right now, and I thought I had it all. Here it is. Oh, it's page 113.
I can't wait.
It's the last poem. And here, I was in a subway in New York. Let me read the comment first. I was waiting for a subway. I saw trash on the tracks. I thought of the ocean. We are all part of the ocean. Mm. And that's when I wrote it. But though this is about, you know, climate control and pollution. So it goes like this. It's called Lotsam Flotsam. Lotsam Flotsam, stuff on shore. Swishing, swashing, salty floor, flashing, scrashing to the core, bobbing, bleeding, help me, more, feasting, fretting of the lore, dolphin, dazing to the roar of flotsy stuff that suffocates, of slooty stuff that hesitates, disintegrates from sight and feel. How could the ocean make appeal to all of us? Oh, flotsy junk and lotsam large, the worst has sunk just like a barge of oily sponge, tsunami mommy adding grunge. I so do wish if I were fish, lotsam flotsam, I would expunge.
So, that's so funny. That's so great.
Different approach.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. For a second, before we go to our break, I want you to tell everybody about some of the reviews that you've gotten and encouragement from some of the highly established
poets. Thank you. You know, I have a poetry editor. His name is Matthew Wilk. Wonderful man who I found serendipitously and actually, in hiring him, I said to him, Matthew, this is my heart, mind, and soul. Tell me what I need to pay you, and I will pay you what it is, what it costs. Because if, but let me send you 10 poems, and If you don't like them or you think that they're not worthwhile for other people to listen to or to read, please tell me. And he said to me, he said, here's what I'm going to charge you. I'm going to charge you my heart, mind, and soul. So he didn't charge me anything.
Oh, that is serendipitous.
It was amazing. And I finally got all the poems together, and I had an advanced copy review, and it went to this gentleman named Neely Tchaikovsky, who was a poet of over 22 books and was the biographer of Lawrence Ferlinghetti and Charles Bukowski, and was a very good friend of Allen Ginsberg. Can you imagine how far back that goes? But very quickly, I don't know if we have the time to read
it. Wait, we're going to go to our break. Yeah, no, absolutely. Give the review first, and then I want everybody to know, again, you're listening to Doug Snelson. He is our poet and author, award-winning author, in studio talking about his newest book, Laughter Includes the Word. Go ahead.
So the quote is from Neely, which was just wonderful. He wrote, quote, "The poems of Doug Snelson came as a surprise. I embraced their originality from the moment I began reading them one by one. I was immediately taken by Snelson's individualistic view of things and his ability to make our old words work again, even to sing. His distinctive vision, with its emphasis on the ordinary life around us, is well worth the reading. This poet accomplishes what every poet should aspire toward. He instructs on how to see and hear with aplomb." Close quote. You know, here I'm reading how wonderful that. But I just, it's humbling that such an accomplished poet would say something. So it encourages me.
Oh, and they don't put their name on anything.
Okay.
That's very important to know if you guys are out there listening. You know it, right? You don't just go ahead up to one of the, like, you know, highest level accomplished poets and then ask for a review and then get such, how many words is that? Probably 200 or so words.
I don't know. Maybe 100 or so. Yeah. Or 120.
Took a lot of time. He took his time.
He did. He read them all. Which was like amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're so excited to have you here. Doug Snelson's talking about his book. Just one of a couple of them, but this one we're talking about. Laughter Includes the Word. Stay with us. We're going to our quick break here on Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy, and I will be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun. All right, welcome back to the show. I'm Jeannie Murphy. I'm getting a phone call here that I can't take, which I really want to. But anyway, I'm more happier to stay, I should say, being on the radio right now with my friend, author and poet Doug Snelson, who's talking about his book, Laughter Includes the Words. But right now I wanted him to take a second to tell us a little bit about his mission and what you've been doing overall, what you're looking for.
Okay, well, thank you. Jeannie, but while the commercial break was going on, you were talking about how a poet, having a poet read their own poetry, there's a passion about it. And right across from my introduction towards the front of the book, there's a quote by Henry David Thoreau, which is, our truest life is when we are in dreams awake. So this experience right now with you is a dream awake, because that essence of me to read what is part of me and to kind of share that out in the radio waves is the most joyous thing. So I thank you for that.
My pleasure.
What I do typically with my two children's books is I will go to elementary schools in the tri-state area, mm-hmm. or should I call it quattro state area, Pennsylvania, Jersey, Connecticut, and New York. And what I try to accomplish with the kindergartners through second graders is because I write in the children's books are written in a couplet fashion, rhyming couplet fashion. Not all my poems are written that way, but some of them are. I try to emphasize learning how to read and taking the time to write. And learning, to me, I tell young children, learning how to identify the exact meanings of words will help you understand not only yourself, but other people. And in The Fable of a Snake Named Slim, a book about Slim is a wobbler who wants to be a wiggler, and ultimately he saves his friends. And there's words like chide, one syllable, snide, one syllable. And understanding what that word chide means and snide means, if a child is approached by another child in a negative way, and they understand that that child is chiding them, bothering them, hurting them in some way emotionally or physically, they can say, oh, I can now put a word to that. That person is chiding me. That's not my problem. That's their problem. And it helps them to understand. So with those two books, and the Who's Got the Faces is more of a beginner, early reading repetition. I have a dog. His name is Faith. He's got the smiles all over the place. Who's got the face? Who likes the chase? And it goes on and on and on. With the Laughter Includes the Word, I'm going to offer my reading programs to middle schools and high schoolers. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage them to read everything and to write in any way or fashion that makes them comfortable. And I try to say to children of any age, try to pull something positive out of the day. That doesn't mean you can't express yourself because you feel bad, but keep hope alive for how you're writing. And you could put that in a journal. You could put that in a diary. You could observe and just write anything down. I would there'd be a day where I would just write a few words. I mean, let me give you an example. When I was in the Marine Corps, I was a first lieutenant. Now here I am, first lieutenant, United States Marine Corps.
Thank you for your service.
Well, thank you. And I would write, I would continue to write about things that were in the service that were related to the service and unrelated to the service. And there are two poems that I would like to share with you. One is called The Rewards of Pain, which is on page 39. Okay. That one poem was Neely Tchaikovsky really liked. And he felt that expressed some things that were going on in his mind. So let me share that with you. Mm-hmm. And let me put the comment first. About to be commissioned a second lieutenant, I asked the platoon training commander if I could pin this poem on the bulletin board in our squad bay at Officers Candidate School in Quantico, Virginia. He agreed, 1972, which was sort of unusual. I had written this, we're going through rigorous training, and I just took a piece of paper. I was so proud of what I was going through, and yet I felt, oh, my, this is, will I ever get through it? And he looked at it, and he said, yeah, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. So here we go. The rewards of pain. The rewards of pain are the sacrifices of life turned gold. These rewards are found in indestructible mountains that God only blesses. It is there where the true vein of life transfer the painful strivings of man into pure dignity and pride. Many men climb a mirrored ladder and find themselves in a velvet hell. It is these men who only see the fineness and toughness of a challenging step. Each step appears as coarse hemp, never touched. Other men engage their long ascent with determination and desire. They see not only the ladder with its unsteady twined steps, they negotiate each strand. Each strand burns a lustered metal onto callous skin and forms a golden crust. The flesh must heal and heal again. The scars seem unbearable. It is these men who never climb a mountain till they are at the top of that mountain. And when they reach their pinnacle, they gaze below and realize the strength of their mountain is the strength of their character. So they lift their heads again. They wear the blindness of their limitations with the clear sight of faith. They climb a burning gold. They know the rewards of pain are the sacrifices of life turned gold. So that was something that was inspired by being in the service.
It's so profound.
And well,
I always say I love my war scars. So I get it.
Now that brings the word profound brings up a very interesting point. Mm-hmm. Bob Dylan was asked, and I remember this quote somewhere along the line. I read a quote from Bob Dylan. Someone asked him, what did this song mean? And what do the lyrics of that song mean? And he said, now don't do that to me. He said, what do they mean to you? But don't tell me. You already know or think you know what they mean to you. So let them be that. And that's the essence of what he said. And that's how I feel about that particular poem.
I was just going to say, have you ever thought of any place to apply this poem? I'm not going to give it away. I'm not going to give you any more suggestions. I'm just saying, listeners out there are probably going, yeah, Jeannie, duh. So, okay, we'll talk about it later. You already told me where it was before.
I just got to take notes.
Yeah, it's so funny. You asked the platoon training commander if you could pin the poem on the bulletin board of the squad by bay at the Officers Candidate School of Quantico. So I would start there.
Okay.
Again.
All right.
Okay. Beautiful.
One other in terms of the Marine Corps, mm-hmm. which is totally different. This revolves Oliver North. You know who Oliver North is?
Of course.
Now, Oliver North, before he became famous as we know him today mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons, mm-hmm. Was a hero. And still anyone who was trained by him, he was a legendary real deal kind of officer in the Marine Corps. I mean, not kind of. He was the real deal.
When
knew him, he was one of my training officers. No, didn't know him well. He was. I wouldn't say that he
would. Well, just because you're not supposed to know your training officer very well, but you knew him.
So. I knew. I mean, he trained me, and if he saw me on the street and would say, "Doug, how's it going?"
Of course.
But I remember him, and we were in the Northern Training Area in Oklahoma. In fact, let me read the poem. And
what page?
It's on page 67.
Okay.
And it's four lines. It's only four lines. In fact, the comment is much longer than the poem. But it made an impact on me, and he made an impact on me. And so it's called Captain Oliver North, and it's very simply says this: a man who says of another man, quote, "He is my idol," close quote, must be idol himself. Now, let me read the comment. Many years before he became a public figure, Captain Oliver North was a respected officer in the U.S.
Wow,
Marine Corps.
That's unbelievable.
Go
ahead.
No. I received instruction from him in 1972 at Officer Candidate School. Then again in 1974, he was one of my training officers on Okinawa. He had just instructed three other second lieutenants and me in field leadership for serving our infantry platoons. The other officers referred to the captain as their idol, I-D-O-L. My interpretation of the captain's words was different. He was instructing us to lead as unique individuals. I found a piece of paper and a stubby pencil to record my thoughts at the time, 1974. So they were all standing around saying, "Oh, he's my idol. Oh, I'm going to go back. I'm going to be just like Oliver North." And I'm thinking, I wasn't going to tell them, but I'm thinking,
"Oh,
no. He was talking about the uniqueness of the individual and the uniqueness of leadership and be your own unique person." So that's why I wrote that, and it's stuck with me. People love that story. So it's a lot of fun, you know. So
I'm going to ask you the secret question.
Has he ever seen that poem?
Right.
No, he
and
has
you
not.
Think it's easy enough to get to him, because it's one little post and a tag away.
Well, he'll probably.
And the story behind it. No, I'm joking.
By the way,
we love this.
By the way, Jeannie, you're the first. This book is just about ready to be released.
And if people want it, I'm very privileged and honored.
Well, thank you for saying that. I'm more humbled than to be here and for you to be so appreciative of what I'm trying to accomplish. But if people wanted to get in touch with me about getting a book,
mm-hmm.
they could just go to info@dougsnelson.com. Mm-hmm. I mean, my
it's
website.
It's with an S-N-E-L-S-O-N.
That's right.
Doug.
Nelson with an S.
Yeah, there you go.
Dougsnelson.com. Right. And I'll give them the information, and same thing with school readings, and I have all kinds of information, for anybody who's interested in learning more about, what I've done. Now, I would be remiss if I did not recite a poem about my wife.
Yeah, you better. What page?
And I want to know.
I love
this. This is page 87.
Okay, don't you love this, guys?
And
87.
And the book, by the way, is dedicated. Yes, page 87. Mm-hmm. This book is dedicated to my wife, my son, and my daughter. So that's Diane, Ryan, and Renee.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was written, and she likes it, and I want her to know. She's at work right now, and she's not listening in. But I want her to know that I read this book, this poem,
and she'll hear it on the archive.
She'll hear it on the archives. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's called "She Has My Eyes," and it goes like this. She has my eyes, she has my smile. She knows I want her to stay a while. She knows I need her breath to kiss. She knows I need her love. I want to give her all my love. I want to speak with her, but I don't have to. She has my eyes, she has my smile. She wants me to be happy. She swarms her joy. She, a nuzzled kitten playing tiger, she gives me that sweetness. I love her. She knows. She has my eyes. She has my smile.
So sweet.
So she likes
it. I bet she does. I mean, my goodness.
And so that's a lot of fun. And I wrote that in 1976, and we were married in 1977. So
that's beautiful.
I have others,
Tell me a little bit about, just for the sake of the audience and for everybody out there who's wondering. When you're a poet, how do you know when you're writing what the rhythm and what the, what are the rules for the poetry?
Oh, gee, that is That's an excellent question. And to be honest, which is the only way I can be, when I'm writing my children's books, I know I'm going to write, there's a certain meter and there's a certain couplet.
It's like syllable counting. There's that one.
But when I write poetry, yes, there is. I try to go to 8 beats or 10 beats, mm-hmm. and I don't want to overthink it, mm-hmm. when I'm writing my children's books.
Right.
However, when I'm writing poetry, it could come to me and leave me in many, many different ways. Or I could just, words will flow from me, mm-hmm. and creative images will flow from me. But, you know, I wouldn't put my poetry in an English class tomorrow and say, now break this down, because there's so many varieties.
But you've been complimented by like the top of the food chain as far as your writing goes.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's
a combination of everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will tell you one of my this thought of something that comes to you and it doesn't, and I have to say most of the time it's hard work. Mm-hmm. That is, I'll have an idea And I just got to stay with this idea, and I'll work it, and I'll work it, and I'll work it. But sometimes it just comes to you.
I love the way you do have that. Just so everybody knows, again, in the book, on the left side of each page, you see his original writings of how he was drafting it, so to speak, and you can see the corrections and the edits and everything. And then on the right side, where he's published inside the book, it shows it in its final form, which is so cool. And again, on the bottom, he has the memory of exactly where it was, you know, kind of. Inspired at. Such a great book. It's called Laughter Includes the Words. Tell people out there, if they're writers, like what you want them to know when they're writing and they get discouraged.
Oh, I've gotten such great advice over the years when it comes to writing. Well, never give up. Mm-hmm. You know, never give up. Be true to yourself. It sounds so corny that I'm saying all the things that instinctively. I think find someone you trust, mm-hmm. and ask them to be honest with you about what they think about what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And then if you're getting encouragement, submit it to someone. In my case, anything that I've written where I thought it would be professional, I've found that editor. I've found someone that might be affiliated with poetry, or someone. I tried getting involved in a poetry group in northern New Jersey, but they said, no, you're in southern New Jersey. I really wanted to get with this poetry book. Mm-hmm. I said, well, would you look at some of my poems? And he said, "Oh, you." I remember him saying, using the phrase, "You have the poetry chops. You're in the right direction."
That's
well,
nice.
That encouraged me.
Yeah,
you encouraged me, Jeannie, about 5 years ago when you were interviewing me.
You read that on the air too,
and you let me recite a poem or two. I recited one of my high school classmates about 10 years ago, and they encouraged me. Of course, my wife has always been encouraging, and my family has been. But pay someone, mm-hmm. to tell you what it's about. Now, when I say pay someone, I don't mean spend thousands and thousands of dollars. There are so many wonderful, talented editors out there.
That
will look at something, mm-hmm. for some very inexpensively. Mm-hmm. And when I say inexpensively, from $100 up.
Yeah.
But start there. Find someone. Ask them, what would you charge for me to, and then just get a feel for it. Now, I also read over the years and believe that if you keep writing and keep getting honest criticism, and I mean criticism in the positive and the negative way.
No, because, completely. You know, I would much rather know what I'm doing
that's
wrong
right.
than
that's
what I'm doing right. And I also agree with you, like, you find someone you trust, but not necessarily your family.
Yes.
Because if you pay someone to give you straight up feedback, I don't care if it's the worst in the world.
Yes.
I want that more than any explosive smoke in my face thing.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's a poem in here that I'll recite to you right now. It's called "Hi God, How Was Your Day?" Mm. And there was a word change from my editor that it was just one of my most favorite poems. And there was one word change that just ripped me. I thought it was going to rip me apart, but then it made so much sense. It's on page 19.
Okay.
So this one I know by heart. I don't have to look at the page. But that scan, by the way, that on the left side, was I almost wrote that from start to finish. And what had happened was I one summer evening, I just woke up, looked up at the sky, took a pen, and it was a piece of typewriter paper.
Remember, you can see it right here in the fixture.
Typewriter paper, and I wrote this down, and I looked back up at the sky, and I went back to bed. And then the next morning, I said, oh, look at that. I knew what I was doing.
Sure.
But I was, for some reason, just
inspired.
Wanted to do it. So it goes like this. This is another favorite that I love to recite when I can get someone that wants to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes like this. Hi, God. How was your day? Was it gentler than the stance of a puppy? Did it loom and linger like the grace of one finger touching the nose of love? How did you strengthen the petals of one flower, the rain molding and cleaning the stem to bend with the breath of an autumn yawn? Say, God, were you lonely? And did I see your thoughts drifting with the mist of one sun-kissed cloud? And after you pulled your soft shade on the day's window, did you jog around the planets, pitting dozens of Milky Ways against the black awe of space? And now will you sleep with the chirp of the stars? If so, then sleep now, God, sleep with the spirit of life, and I shall watch the sky from my bedside. That's the poem.
That's extraordinary.
Oh, thank you. That's one of my favorites. They're all my favorites, but that's one of my
I think God would love it. Now, let's just figure out how we get it to him.
Well, he's already got it.
He gave it to me.
He gave it to me. But the one word change,
What was the word change there?
From blue to black awe of space. So I had written it against the blue awe of space. And in the entire book, and then I thought, yes, that's right. It's black. It's
and
just
black
the color.
Was so
because
impactful
if you're in space
now,
yes,
like you know,
whatever. Yes,
yeah, black is basically it's like he's got so much to do, and then there's this black awe.
Yeah,
so you made it positive, and also instead of negative,
that's right.
Which I love.
That's right, and therein lies in all these poems. My editor, there may have been two or three suggestions, and you know, a great editor. You know, the author keeps their voice, and
that's the most important thing.
That's why a writer should never be threatened by an editor.
They should
embrace them.
Well, that's the same way with people who share their little tidbits and parts of their books on social media. People ask us all the time, should I share something? Because I don't really want to. I'm like, no. You want to share all the time because that gives the other people out there who are not you a chance to see the you and the individuality. And then they want more because they love to know, whoa, that's so profound or that's extraordinary. It's just true.
I know.
People ask that all the time. But like you were saying also, an editor, a lot of times people say they need an editor. They're thinking they need a proofreader. And an editor is not at all a proofreader.
No,
an editor
right.
is completely reading it from the perspective of the unknown, uneducated, just pick it up and read it for content. Find out if it makes sense to somebody else.
Yes, for example, they may read something and the editor may say, I'm going to give you honest feedback.
Mm-hmm.
What you just sent me, I didn't think was too good.
Yep.
But I see you have an interest and a passion in blue sky.
Mm-hmm. Or you have a talent much in poetry.
So why don't you write about that and think about this one you're writing? So they'll help you because if you want to write, you should continue to write because it's always there are no inappropriate hearts, minds, and souls in this world.
That's right.
There are no inappropriate. So if you can get that onto paper, and I say get on paper, get on a computer, get it out there. It is, and boy, what a wonderful feeling that is. Too. It's
well,
a
you're
joyful,
sharing it
joyful
with the universe.
That's exactly right.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to clarify with the editor thing. I didn't mean uneducated as to not being a talented editor. I mean someone who's actually an expert in the genre of the editing, but they may not know you, and they may they just come from the outside. As if someone walked by and picked up the book who wanted to read about poetry, what happens? And does it make any sense? Or is it going to just go, whoa? So anyway, we got to go to a break right now. Again, I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. Thanks so much for listening over the years. We're celebrating JMPR's 10-year anniversary as of October 21st this year. My guest on the radio today is Doug Snelson. He's an award-winning author and poet, and his book, again, is Laughter Includes the Word. That's the poetry book. He has the other children's book, The Fable of the Snake Named Slim, and also Who's Got the Face? These are both award-winning multiple times. We're going to go to our break real quick, and I want to remind you to start checking in on 11 o'clock on Wednesday mornings for location, location, location to hear about Hunterdon County and all about stuff that's going on around the area for you and your loved ones. Stay with us. Bye.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
All right, welcome back to Talented People. It's already, I can't believe it, it's 3:48 in the afternoon already on November 28th. I just don't believe it. It's already the 28th of November. Can you believe that Christmas is going to be gone 30 days from now? We'll be past it already.
Oh, my goodness.
It just moves too fast.
Oh, I know. And every day, you know, every day, every year seems to, I think as you get a little bit older, I'll just say a little bit older, every day, month, year just seems to just pass.
Well, I laugh because so I'm like with you, like quickly. I'm always connected with the universe and like you, with your little notes on when you did this and when you read them. I always used to turn the clock, the grandfather clock on Wednesdays. And it used to seem like a month to get there. And now it's like, I look up, I'm like, is that yesterday? It's a week ago. Anyway, back to you. All right. So my guest again in studio here is author and poet Doug Snelson. And we're talking about his book right now, Laughter Includes the Words. And back to you.
Well, one of the other thoughts that I had back to when I read to children, it was actually my daughter who said, "Dad, what do you represent? What do you represent with your children's book?" This is starting it, and it's followed through everything. I remember attending an elective in my senior year in college. I went to Syracuse University, Newhouse School of Communications. And it was a course on mysticism. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to show up and I'm going to get a pass-fail and I'm a senior and it's done. Well, it was the most fascinating.
Not to love that.
Oh, it was just, it was fascinating to me. And there were two professors that were sitting at the front of the class and they were talking about yin and yang and, you know, the positive, the negative. And they then started to talk about play. And they said that, like a child, all adults should always, always be at play. But the definition of play is not throwing a ball or not that that couldn't be. The definition of play, as they were describing it, had two corollaries to it. One was awe. That like a child, when they see anything, or they go outside, or they see a flower, they see a food, or they see a color, or they hear something, they are in awe. And the second is concentration. A child looks at a flower and is in awe, but they're so focused on it. Now, as we get older, we hopefully find passions that drive us through our day that we can come back to. But if we can live our life, and it's a hard thing to do because life gets in your way, but to live your life at play, where you look at the day, the clouds, and say, and just, wow, look at this day, how wonderful it is, and to focus on it, to concentrate on it. It might be a book, it might be a picture, it might be music, it might be something that somebody said, something that you heard, or something that you read. And by the way, keep reading. So to the discussion on play, I was down Long Beach Island a couple of years ago because I want to bring these poems up to most recent.
Yeah.
And I was we were on Brant Beach and 53rd Street, and it was it was 6:06 in the morning. 6:06 a.m.
What
April
page?
1st. Oh, I'm sorry. Page 107.
Okay.
And I walked out to the beach. Now, I had a piece of paper and a pen. I thought, let's see if I'm lucky. Now, it's kind of like with your iPhone. You know, you're out there and you think, gee, I'm visiting someplace. Am I going to capture, you know, the sunrise coming over the ocean? I'm going to take a picture of that. But, you know, most mornings it isn't that way, or most evenings. But sometimes you find something. Well, I found something, and it was just, I just got lucky. Mm-hmm. And this is called LBI Sunrise, 6:06 a.m., April 20th. And this is what I saw. Orange candy ball, resting silhouette gulls on the swaying water stage. A mirage of banana gold sea dust widening the pathway, linking light to clapping ripples, a moist butterfly carpet. The eastern morning, three-legged wandering imprints marching in the dune's inclination. Cool toes. All decisions roll forward, roll forward, roll forward. Shell jewelry forms a necklace with the grace of the sea breeze around me. How the yew grasps and grows the fiery golden heart of every welcoming roof, warming the tones inside. My shadow finally appears. The time to return the favor arrives, to bring this joy from the oceanscape to my resting woman. So that's that poem, and that was that,
beautiful.
That morning.
Like, you could just picture it. I could just picture every single. One thing I want to remind everybody about was what you were talking about yourself, is how you like to teach, you know, kids and people to use the right words.
Yes.
And that's what you have as very unique in your poetry, is every single word in this poem, all of them, I just see words that aren't used very often. And so your choices are so compelling.
That's very kind of you to say that. That's
because, I mean, honestly, anybody out there, it'd be hard for them to keep up with us listening to the poems, because I'm sure they can just visualize them. And again, the book is Laughter Includes the Words. If anybody would want to pick up a copy, you can order it. Go to Doug's Nelson with an S, Nelson with an S, website. But go ahead. I did want you to know that. It's funny because you say that you like to teach that, but that's what you do.
Well, there were for some reason you're making me think of. Of a poem that I wrote, and let's see, I think it's on page 70. Is it page 73? I think it's not. Unless my glasses are wrong here. Let me go to it. And what had happened, It was August 10th. All right.
Okay.
August 10th. Now I'm back to 1974, so I'm jumping around the decades here. August 10th was the day that President Nixon resigned.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
So for our history buffs and younger listeners, there was many – that was the Watergate period. And there were especially there was a hidden secret tape that was blocked out in certain parts of audio, and the transcript came out, and the transcript showed where that blocked word was called expletive deleted. So I wrote a poem called Expletive Deleted.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, this has nothing to do with, you know, politics. It's
right.
Just what was.
Right.
And I'm not saying, you know, it doesn't matter, liberal, conservative, independent. This is just what
Everybody's
happened.
Everybody's got an expletive deleted.
So here we go. And that's page 73.
Okay.
And this is sort of a fun one.
Okay.
Fun in the sense that that's how I took it. So August 10th, he resigned,
mm-hmm.
and that's when I wrote the poem.
Okay.
It was the day after.
You have a minute, so you got to hurry.
Okay.
Okay.
Had a problem at the White House. Seems that tapes were sorely needed. Missing time and words that spelled expletive deleted. Some people drowned at Watergate when things got really heated. It got so hot as well, expletive deleted. For looking for some files, there were secrets, it's conceded. Got caught pants down and in the act of expletive deleted. So things were getting tricky. Constitution wasn't heeded. Did Thomas Jefferson ever write expletive deleted? I understand Andrew Johnson thought he'd never be defeated. He drank and smoked, and when he spoke, he expletive deleted. And when Grant and Lee had met at last, to patch what had seceded, they signed their names to live in trust, not expletive deleted. If honesty's a policy that shouldn't be impeded, I bet we'd clean the Congress of those expletive deleted. Had a problem at the White House, was a problem deeply seated, but now we got the poor son of an expletive deleted. So there you go.
That's awesome. I'm sorry. That's totally out of, like, all the ones we've been on today have been absolutely beautiful and awesome. That's hysterical.
Oh, good.
And again, to my friends out there who are listening, because we were just talking to him about where he's at out there and who knows about this. And again, I can think of 100 places that would be happy to help you know about that poem. So anyway, this is Jeannie Murphy. It's Talented People. Again, my guest was Doug Snelson today. You want to say last words? You've got about 30 seconds.
Okay. Last words, this is to you, and it's a poem. It's in there somewhere, and it was with my buddies. It goes like this. Now I got 10 seconds. I laughed at the pause, a silent applause. There was no real cause. It was love.
Beautiful. Oh, my gosh. And how perfect for the holidays and for you being here. Good luck in your journey.
Thank
there.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening in to Talented People. I hope you have a greatest week, and we'll be back next week with more holiday cheer. Talented People, take care.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee. Time is 10:06. It's time for 100 Chamber Radio weather. It's 73 degrees in Flemington right now. Mostly cloudy skies. 30% chance of precipitation. We might have some thunderstorms at 4 p.m. Today is September 14, 2017. Partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. The high will be 79, wind southwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 30%. Tonight, considerable clouds this evening. Some decrease in clouds late. Slight chance of a rain shower and low of 60. Winds light and variable. Sunshine and some clouds for tomorrow. Slight chance of a rain shower and 81 degrees. For the Jazz Fest, going to look good. Clear clouds early and then giving way to generally clear conditions. The Craft Fair on Main Street also going to be good. Partly cloudy. Slight chance of a rain shower. High of 82 for both Saturday and Sunday. Cloudy and 78 on Monday. Cloudy early with showers on Tuesday in the afternoon with a high of 78. And Wednesday, sun and a few passing clouds, 81. Temperatures in our area, 73 in Raritan, 71 in Frenchtown, 70 over in Lambertville, 73 in Asbury, 70 in Easton, 68 in Pattonburg, 69 in Long Valley, and 71 in Clinton. That's Good Morning Hunter and Hunt Chamber Radio Weather.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through